Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Former Bills tight end Charles Clay is going to sign a one-year deal worth up to $3.25 million with the Arizona Cardinals. The signing comes just 3 days after Clay was released by the Buffalo Bills. The deal includes a $350,000 signing bonus with Arizona, according to sources. Clay was going into the last year of a five-year free agency contract he signed with the Bills back in 2015. Charles Clay to the Arizona Cardinals. The Antonio Brown trade saga is getting a little bit more clarity today. Antonio Brown saying that both sides have agreed it is time to move on. Brown met today with Art Rooney II, Steelers owner. They met in Florida, the meeting cordial, and everyone agreed the trade will be for the best, according to Adam Schefter. So Brown, who first requested a trade in late January, appears to have gotten what he was looking for. Buffalo Sabres on the road today. Sabres announcing that forward Kyle Okposo has been diagnosed with a concussion. He is out indefinitely. The Sabres road trip continues tonight when they play the Panthers in Florida. Buffalo looking for its first win at Florida since 2015. A win tonight would give them wins in consecutive matchups with the Panthers for the first time since they won three in a row in 2011. Sabres, 7 o'clock faceoff tonight in Florida against the Panthers. And the UB Bulls in action tonight. With the 25th ranking in the Associated Press poll, the Bulls, coming off a two-game road sweep of Akron and Toledo, are back home to open a season-long three-game homestand tonight. They host Ohio University at Alumni Arena, the first of two meetings in the next couple of weeks between the Bulls and the Ohio U Bobcats. UB with 22 wins, 3 losses, 22 straight wins at Alumni Arena, tied for the third longest home winning streak in college basketball. UB tips off 7 o'clock tonight at Alumni Arena against Ohio University. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio. Thanks very much for tuning in with us, talking about the advent of NFL free agency. Now it is just a couple of weeks away, March 13th, opening day of free agency. Here to talk about free agency with us is ESPN's NFL fantasy football analyst, the host of the Next Level Fantasy Football Show on SiriusXM, a member of the Pro Football Writers Association. Happy to have Mike Clay on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us. Hello, Mike. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, fellas, good to be here. How are you?
Good. John Murphy, Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Question for you, and it's late-breaking news within the last hour, but just your thoughts on Charles Clay's move from the Bills, released last Friday, to the Arizona Cardinals on a one-year deal. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's been a disappointing couple seasons for Clay, obviously, but Arizona's kind of in just that talent collection mode right now, whether it's seasoned veterans or scooping up some younger guys off waivers late in the season. But, you know, we've seen a few guys. They bring in Charles Clay, who's probably an upgrade, honestly, on their current situation with Jermaine Gresham there, who could be cut loose, and Ricky Seals-Jones, a converted receiver who didn't pan out. But they bring him in. They bring in Robert Alford. They've been looking for a number two perimeter corner for a long time. He's clearly an upgrade. Brooks Reed on the edge. I mean, Arizona obviously just kind of in talent collection mode right now. We'll see if any of these guys pan out for them.
Hey, Mike, I was saying to my partner Steve here last hour that a lot of what goes on in free agency is, I mean, for lack of a better, I know this is a hackneyed phrase, but one team's trash is another one's treasure. In other words, Bills fans are like, we're not going to miss Charles Clay. And the Arizona Cardinals are saying, hey, we got Charles Clay. He was productive a couple of years ago. That'll happen again and again over the next couple of weeks, won't it?
No question. I mean, you know, I just put out a list on Twitter of all the top free agents. But as you mentioned, a lot of guys are going to get cut too, right? So we're going to have a lot of guys kind of added to this group, whether it is a guy like Jermaine Gresham or perhaps a Torrey Smith or maybe a Michael Crabtree. Devontae Parker could get traded. Laquon Treadwell, maybe somebody takes a chance on him. You're going to see a lengthy list of veterans, some with a lot of talent, some that are kind of sneaky names that get scooped up and make a lot of noise elsewhere. Think about this. The Super Bowl winning Patriots, right? Adrian Claiborne, they scoop him up. He played a nice rotational role on the edge, as well as Danny Shelton, who Cleveland just kind of gave away to them. They did made some savvy, under-the-radar offseason moves last year. Trent Brown, how about him at left tackle? What a move that was. I mean, that's how championship teams are made. It's not just the superstars. It's filling in those voids across your roster, and that's why Teams like Cleveland made a leap last year, and certainly the Saints filled some voids last offseason, and obviously New England does that each and every offseason. So you're right. You have to keep an eye on those intermediate moves, the smaller moves as well as the big ones.
Yeah, you mentioned Arizona being in the talent collection mode. That's what every team right now is. They're either collecting the talent or evaluating it, and now you've got great players like Antonio Brown out there who it came out today. He and the Steelers have agreed that there's going to be a trade, but the problem is his contract. I mean, don't you have to be a team that not only has the assets to trade for him, but also the money to pay him? Doesn't that narrow the field quite a bit?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the implications won't be too bad for them. It's pretty much going to be a wash for the Steelers. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. There's teams that have cap room, others that don't, and that's going to be a factor here. But I think the teams you've heard a lot about have some cap space, right? So think about the San Francisco 49ers. They could obviously make it happen. They declined an option on Pierre Garçon. They have some cap space, and obviously they need an impact player, a wide receiver for Jimmy Garoppolo. So they make sense. The team I'd love to see, guys, and maybe it's wishful thinking, but just as a football fan wanting to watch explosive offense, will be the Colts. I mean, imagine putting him opposite T.Y. Hilton with Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle inside, Marlon Mack in the backfield, and obviously Andrew Luck throwing the football. I mean, that would be so fun. But and of course, the Colts, I mentioned them because they are overwhelmed with cap space. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do. But, yeah, I think there's suitors out there that have the money and will be able to get a deal done.
Hey, Mike, how much, if at all, has Antonio Brown poisoned the trade waters regarding him?
I think a little bit. I mean, you've seen the reports out there that some teams are just not interested right now, and I don't know how much truth is to that. The thing I would look at is really his age. I mean, he's over age 30 now. Do we start to see him come back to earth a little bit in production? That would be the thing I look at, or that I would be studying if I was looking to trade for Antonio Brown. I'd be more concerned with that. Is he about to fall off? You know, are we going to get that superstar? Or are we going to get a guy that's 80% of that or 70%? You know, is a guy that's going to get injured now? You know, that's the thing that's kind of being overlooked is the fact that he could be on the way down, you know, but you don't hear anything about that. It's almost being overlooked, and maybe that's smart by him. People are thinking, you know what, we could deal with the locker room stuff, the off-field stuff. You know, we'll take that chance because he's talented. But is he really at that level right now? Or if he is, how much longer does he have?
Well, there's a ton of guys coming out, and you know, there's going to be a couple of hundred guys that hit the free agent market who are already on the free agent market or are going to come on. Do you see any notable names that are just about to be kicked to the curb by the club that with which they've made their name with? Are there any big name free agents that we don't know about just yet?
Guys that are that have not been cut loose yet. So you think guys that are about to be added to the pool?
Right.
Absolutely. I think we've heard DeSean Jackson's name a bunch of times. He could either be cut loose or traded. That's the name. I mentioned Michael Crabtree. Emmanuel Sanders is hurt, so I don't know if that'll happen in Denver, but that's a team who moved on from Demaryius Thomas last season. He's actually there now. Demaryius Thomas is actually in the pool now. He was cut loose by Houston, so that's a name to keep an eye on for sure. On the defensive side of the ball, guys, a lot of potential star power here. Malik Jackson and Gerald McCoy at defensive tackle. How about Everson Griffin on the edge? A bunch of linebackers, Sean Lee, Vontaze Burfict, Jamie Collins, Zach Brown. Those are some names to watch there. Corner, Jimmy Smith, Xavier Rhodes, and safety, Andrew Sandejo in Minnesota and Morgan Burnett in Pittsburgh. Burnett wants out, per his comments late in the season. So there's a lot of talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And it's already a very good class on the defensive side, especially on the edge when you talk about guys like DeMarcus Lawrence and Clowney and Flowers, Brandon Graham, D. Ford. I mean, Frank Clark, there's just a lengthy list of talented players out there on that side of the ball. So, we'll keep an eye on this in the next couple of weeks.
Hey, Mike, on the other side, tag season is open now. Anybody coming off the free agent market, do you think? Who do you anticipate is going to get tagged and come off the free agent market?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like there's going to be a ton right now, or at least the reports suggest teams are kind of on the fence with a few of these guys. I mean, you're hearing reports about kickers, you know, could be the top guys getting tagged. I think DeMarcus Lawrence is a very likely one in Dallas. If they can't come to a long-term agreement, that's one I'd keep an eye on. Not sure about Clowney. I'm not sure if they would tag him right now. You've heard a little about Trey Flowers. He probably won't be tagged. And I think with like a guy like C.J. Mosley, who kind of leads the linebackers, it sounds like they'll probably come to a long-term deal with him. And that might be it. I mean, LaMarcus Joyner was tagged last season by the Rams. I don't think that's going to happen again. It is a good safety class. Landon Collins for the Giants is a candidate for sure. So not sure we're going to get a ton of them, at least in terms of the super high-paid superstar players. Might see ones kind of flying under the radar on special teams, like at the kicker position. But those are the top guys to keep an eye on for sure.
One of the things you talk about in your articles is you think maybe you're thinking Devontae Parker goes to the Colts and Jacoby Brissett moves on. What do you think that could happen, or how likely is it now?
Ryan Tannehill, I didn't mention him, but he's another guy that is supposedly or reportedly going to be cut by the Dolphins. And if that happens, they don't have a quarterback, so they're going to be in that market for sure. And I thought that connection kind of makes sense. I mean, you look at the coaching changes down there in Miami. You bring in Brian Flores and Chad O'Shea as the offensive coordinator. Well, those guys were with the Patriots when they drafted Jacoby Brissett. And now, of course, he was shipped to the Colts when the season Andrew Luck was out, but he's going to be a free agent after this season, and Andrew Luck is the starter there in Indianapolis. So potentially he could be moved. We know that Devontae Parker fell out of favor last season with Miami, was kind of driven down to the bottom of the depth chart, and he's going to be a free agent after the season. So perhaps a connection there. Brissett goes to work with coaches that he knows down there in Miami to compete to start, maybe with a rookie there, and then you ship Parker for a kind of a fresh start there with the Colts opposite T.Y. Hilton. So, yeah, that was just kind of we all came up with a trade that kind of makes sense for both sides, and that one would fly a little under the radar, but obviously could make a big impact for both teams.
Talking to NFL free agency with Mike Clay, ESPN NFL football analyst. He's on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. How about quarterbacks moving in free agency, Mike? Who do you see likely candidates to move around a little bit? Bridgewater, Nick Foles, Ryan Fitzpatrick? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a ton of clear paths to starting jobs, right? I mean, right. even the teams that have voids at the quarterback position or maybe are on the low end of the quarterback position, if we were to rank them 1 to 32, they still have young players that they want to give a shot to. Obviously, Denver filled theirs with Joe Flacco. Case Keenum could become available, but Washington, they have a big need. Jacksonville is going to move on to Blake Bortles. They do. Miami, I already mentioned. And past that, I mean, guys, I don't know if we have any starting jobs open. So where does Nick Foles go? Teddy Bridgewater, you have a couple of rookies. You would think Kyler Murray will be starting pretty quickly. Dwayne Haskins as well. Those guys need landing spots. Tyrod Taylor's out there. And I mentioned some guys that will be cut loose. Case Keenum's available. Ryan Tannehill, mentioned Bortles. Maybe A.J. McCarron, Jacoby Brissett. I mean, there's more quarterbacks, we'll say, that are available than there are spots. So it's going to be interesting to see where these guys land and if they end up cementing themselves into a clear number one job.
Yeah, and it's no question that with you, we're kind of entrenched here in the AFC East. It's going to be interesting to see who takes a snap for the Miami Dolphins under Brian Flores. I don't think it's going to be Ryan Tannehill. It could be a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, or it could be any one of those names. You know, it could be Ryan Fitzpatrick or Tyrod Taylor, Josh McCown, any of those teams. But one thing I did want to ask you, too, about is the running back spot. Le'Veon Bell has been in limbo for over a year, and he's maybe one of the best running backs available, active or inactive. Where is he going to end up?
Oh, well, you put me on the spot there, right? I think the team I've had kind of the most fun connecting the dots here is Oakland. You know, I just think it just seems to make sense to me. I feel like it's the kind of splash move that Mike Mayock and John Gruden will make. They obviously have a major void at running back. Marshawn Lynch is a free agent, as is Doug Martin. Really, they only have Jalen Richard right now, and he's more of a scat back at a nice season last year. But they have a void there, could use a 25-touch sort of player. And they don't have much at wide receiver, and Jared Cook's a free agent. You know, they need somebody to touch the ball quite a bit on the offensive side of the ball. I could see them spending money. They have a lot of that to spend. So Oakland's the team I've connected them to, but there's other spots, obviously, out there, including a team like Tampa Bay or, you know, perhaps Miami. That's probably a long shot, but there are a few voids. Philadelphia, I doubt that one as well, but there's certainly openings out there.
Mike Clay is our guest from ESPN on the topic of free agency. Mike, I have in my hand your 2019 NFL free agency cheat sheet. How can we? I'm going to keep this over the next month or two. But what's the best way to use this, and what's the best way to evaluate what you've put out here in terms of positions and the players listed under each position?
Yeah, I keep track of this pretty closely, the free agent status, and I do unit grades year-round, just kind of grading teams. It's a good way to find out teams that are being overlooked or are overrated across the league. It's how you find teams like Cleveland last year and the year before. Philadelphia came in high. The Chargers came in high. The Jags, that breakout season, they were high too. So it's just a fun exercise, and that gives you an idea where teams are strong, where teams are weak, and obviously if they're weak, it's likely that they'll address those positions using all the other players I have listed here, which is a list of the top free agents at each position. So it's just a resource. Print it out. I'll keep updating it over on Twitter at MikeClayNFL, and you know, just keep an eye on who the top guys are, and you know, if you're a Bills fan or a fan of another team, it'll give you an idea of who's out there, who's available, and if it dries up and there's nothing there at that position, it might be time to look toward the draft for some of these positions.
Yeah, your unit grades are very interesting, and you've got the Bills with ranked 29th overall in the NFL personnel wise, fifth defensively in terms of all the units put together and how well they play, and dead last, 32nd on offense. Tell me how you compile those unit grades and what they tell us, if you would, Mike.
Yeah, just always going to be a little bit of a subjective nature, but you know, I'm looking through right resources. I'm using My Football Sense. I'm just looking over the rosters. I mean, it really anyone can do this. You just have to put time aside. You pull out the free agents, and then you just compare every roster. Basically, rank them 1 to 32, essentially, or grade them on a 1 to 10 scale, like I do, and then just do a little math and total them up and see who has the best roster out there. So. Yeah, you know, I've been hard on the Bills the past couple of years. I thought they were an extremely strong candidate to kind of fall back to earth last season and miss the playoffs. That did, in fact, happen. But, you know, admittedly, I was a little low on the defense. Tom McDermott has done an outstanding job on that side of the ball, not just finding good players, but, you know, taking seemingly replacement-level or average players and making them look like above average or off-front players. I mean, he's done such a terrific job. Look at that safety group. Unbelievable. Two guys that were barely in the league, and Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, and both guys are playing at a Pro Bowl level. It's just incredible. So I'm really excited for them taking the next step defensively, and then I really want to see what they do offensively. They have to get some weapons here for Josh Allen. Give him a fair shot. I mean, I've been hard on him for sure, and I have serious concerns about his accuracy, but he also didn't have a great supporting cast. Get him an O-line. Get him some guys to throw to. And we'll see what he can do at the NFL level here in 2019.
Yeah, that caught my attention. Your unit grade for the Bills quarterback group, 2.7, and only three other NFL teams have a lower grade at quarterback. Are you saying Josh Allen was the fourth worst quarterback in the NFL last year?
Well, not necessarily last year, saying going forward. So, yeah, I'm definitely very, very concerned about what he brings to the table of quarterback. I mean, he added a lot with his legs last season. We know that. Tremendous production. We can't overlook that. But is that sustainable long term? And can he make plays with his arm? Yes, he did make a few last year, but he also had a very high off-target rate. He also completed well below 60% of his throws. I mean, some of the concerns we had with him coming into the NFL did carry over. But again, if he takes a step forward, he throws the ball a little bit better, continues to run, they get him more weapons, the defense holds up. I'll be wrong. You know, this is a team that'll compete for 8 wins, 9
sure.
wins, and,
yeah.
and maybe get into the playoffs. So all we can do is evaluate what's there now. I'm comparing their current situation to the other 31 teams, and that's just where I feel they fall. It won't be perfect, but it's been a good exercise over the past few
yeah.
years.
I get that. Hey, last question for you. Steve put you on the spot earlier. I'm going to do it here. Free agency opens March 13th. Do they open at midnight or they wait till 4 p.m.? How does that work these days? I don't even know. You know?
Yeah, that's 4 p.m., but they do have that tampering period.
That's
for
right.
a few days.
So
we'll get a bunch of reports.
When
yeah.
free agency opens, who's the first big name to make a move? It's a guess.
Oh, man.
Throw a dart here.
You are putting me on the spot. I'm just gonna go with volume here, and I'll go with one of these edge rushers. So pick your poison. I'll say Brandon Graham from Philadelphia signed somewhere. I don't even know where.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about. Maybe how about I'll throw a dart here. Brandon Graham signs with the Rams. How about that one?
All right.
They need an edge.
Well, you're right, volume. There's so many edge rushers seemingly going to be available March 13th. That'd be the logical way to go, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yep. That could work for sure. Maybe the Jets for Graham. You know, maybe states in the Northeast, they're switching up their defensive scheme there. So, the edge rushers are going to be fun to watch, especially if a guy like Everson Griffin gets added to that pile as well.
Yep. Hey, Mike, thanks for this. Good talking with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Anytime, fellas. Take care.
Mike Clay, ESPN NFL football analyst, does a lot of work on fantasy football. Joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, presented by Subway Restaurants, proud to be locally owned and operated.
You know, it's interesting because you kind of get your hackles up when the guy calls in, and he kind of is hard on the Bills roster. But you think about this. Think of all the free – they've got three starting offensive linemen from a bad offensive lineman that are free agents. There's zero offensive lineman. They just signed one, Spencer Long. Then you look at the wide receivers. You got two guys coming back who were just, you know, Zay Jones coming into was in his second year, who was left high and dry by the number one receiver, Kelvin Benjamin. They got rid of him. Now Robert Foster is there now. They got wide receivers that are unproven and unproductive. They got a rookie quarterback coming off a rookie season when he was injured for four games. LeSean McCoy none of the running backs had a productive year. So you look at the offensive side of the ball with the Bills, plus, you know, the guys that are gone from that. They have, like, nobody to play, and you can even actually say are even on the team. Yeah, it's easy to put the Bills way down the list for teams that are, you know, sitting where they want to be. But as we've been talking about here all day, they've got tons of cap space and tons of draft picks to fill that up, and you would think while they are going to probably address a couple of needs on the other side of the ball, maybe get an edge rusher. That's basically maybe an edge rusher and one defensive tackle to replace Kyle Williams. Everything else, every other, I think, asset's going to be spent on that side of the football.
Offense?
Yeah.
Every asset?
Except for one, maybe to get an edge rusher and a defensive tackle.
Okay.
But I think most of the assets left of the 12 draft picks or 10 draft picks and the $90 million, $87 million they got to spend, they're looking at nothing but the offensive side of the football, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would think.
Yeah, mostly, I think, on offense, for sure.
Yeah, so that's a big cue. There's a lot of question marks there that have to come together. Absolutely. For the offense to even feel about like it could spread its wings in 2019.
We got a lot of question marks for you, a lot of questions for you about how the Bills get going on this. That's our Twitter poll. We got more than 1,000 responses so far. What's the biggest challenge for the Bills this offseason? You know what the lineup is and what's the biggest challenge they have. Right now, 39% of you say it's free agency spending. That number's coming down a little bit. 33% of you say it is Josh Allen's development. 25% of you say getting the draft right is the Bills' biggest challenge. 3% have something else in mind. Give us a call. We'll read some of your tweets in a moment, but we'd love to talk to you on the air about it. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The biggest challenge facing the Bills this offseason, is it Josh's development, spending in free agency, or getting the draft right? The draft, of course, coming up the end of April, and we are a week away from the Combine. That's where we will be starting 1 week from tomorrow. Our coverage of the NFL Scouting Combine begins next Wednesday, February 27th, runs through Friday, March 1st. Steve and I will be there live at Radio Row. We were informed today we have a spot on Radio Row, Steve.
We got our confirmation of our space.
Yes, looking forward to that. Us and about 1,300 other radio stations jammed into the Indianapolis Convention Center. Live coverage from the NFL Combine starts next Wednesday, February 27th. Make sure you stick around for that. Coming back with more in a moment. Let's hear from you. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio. We're up. John Murphy, Steve Kasker, up for more. All that you can give us, we will take it today. Talking about... Why are you laughing?
It's like we're in a bar fight.
We'll take it. Take that punch. What's the biggest challenge for the Bills this offseason? Let us know what you think. Let's take a call here, Steve. Ronnie in Idaho. We tried earlier, Ronnie. Thanks for hanging with us. I believe you're on the air with us now, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Ronnie.
Go ahead, Ronnie.
Where are you in Idaho? Coeur d'Alene?
Boise.
Boise, okay. I just like saying Coeur d'Alene.
So I had first a question, but also a story. Yesterday I was listening to the show, and Steve, you had mentioned the number of the amount of mail that you receive requesting autographs. Well, it just reminded me that I had sent a Jim Kelly football card to the stadium requesting an autograph. That was about 25, 30 years ago. I'm still waiting for that card.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, don't hold your breath there, Ronnie.
Yeah, I'm starting to give up.
Yeah, starting to have doubts. Go. What else you got?
Well, there's a lot of talk about adding wide receivers to the team. And based on what we saw last year and the emergence of Foster towards the end of the year, development of Allen as well. I just wonder if the offense would be okay with the group that we have now if we can strengthen the offense, the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. Robert Foster, I mean, there's every reason to think Robert Foster will probably kind of be on the team again this year. I don't know that they'll bolster the wide receiver core so much that they'll make him expendable, that they'll bring four or five guys up that are going to make Robert Foster go away. And he did. He got better and better and better. In fact, it was his development and his development alone, I think, that caused them to finally think that Kelvin Benjamin was expendable. They said, you know what, Robert Foster's ready. Kelvin's not giving us anything. Let's let him go. I think that's what happened. I think I'm with you, though, in one respect. The offensive line, I think, is the absolute number one priority. I don't think anything else comes before that and for this offseason. Josh Allen is going to get as good as he's going to get without practicing. He's going to be working hard in the offseason. All of that is a given. You hope it is. But for the team and the decisions they have to make, that's got to be their number one priority. They've got three guys that started for them at certain times during the year that are all free agents, and they've got to get better up front. And so I'm totally with you on that. I don't know that they're absolutely going to bring in more wide receivers because they need them to field a team. And how good those guys are, well, we'll see. That remains to be seen. But I'm with you 100%. I think the offensive line is the absolute number one priority for building the roster from here, this point forward. Not to say that there aren't other holes, because there are. But I think that is the one thing they've got to get right.
I agree. But I do want to see them get better at receiver.
Oh,
Add people. Add good people. Quality people.
And there's, we've got, the cheat sheet here for our guest last hour. And let me just read down some of the wide receivers. There's a bunch of them, so I'm not going to do all of them, but I'll give you the top 10 or 15 names. It starts with Golden Tate, Terrell Williams, Demaryius Thomas, Devin Funchess, John Brown. That's a guy you like, Murph.
Love.
Jamison Crowder, Adam Humphries, Randall Cobb, Cole Beasley, Dez Bryant, Chris Hogan, Dante Moncrief, Mike Wallace. So you go, go down. Martavius Bryant, Pierre Garçon, Cordarrelle Patterson, Dontrell Inman, Rashad Perryman. All these guys, they're all, and that plus that many more are already out there available. You got to sift through them. And most of those guys are going to get a shot somewhere.
Yep.
I don't know that Dez Bryant's going to be on a roster, but there's going to be some of those guys that get a chance. No question.
Thanks, Ronnie. Here's a call from Eric in Connecticut. Hello, Eric. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Sure.
So real quick, I wanted to really touch base about the development of Allen, especially with you two guys, because you're so well in the media. My one question is, someone compared to Lamar Jackson, where he was on such a great team and he ran the ball and passed less than Allen, what is it where people are forgetting? When the Bills first played, what was it, after week two, we weren't even supposed to beat Alabama. We were the worst team. No one should even have Allen in the game. It will ruin his development. And he comes in, he uses his feet first, and then he starts getting in touch with Foster. And my point is, he keeps getting better. And I know you're not going to be a Bills homer around the media, around nationally, that he's amazing. But I feel like, do you guys know, he's not even getting credit that's like, wow, he wasn't even supposed to play this year. And the things we've seen so far once Berkeley and Anderson got involved, it really seems like there's some development here, but I feel like he gets no love at all, like nationally.
Eric, it's funny you mention it, because our last guest, who, appreciate him coming on, but I thought he underplayed how much value Josh Allen has. He had the Bills as the fourth worst quarterback unit in the NFL, behind several teams who I think they are further ahead of. I know there's an awful lot of work to be done by Josh Allen, which is why on our Twitter poll today, that's one of the issues. Like, what should be the Bills' biggest concern this offseason? Development of Josh Allen. I think if that's not number one, it's close to number one. I think that's critically important. He's got a lot of room for improvement, but he did improve last year, and that to me is the most encouraging thing. He did get better from when he started playing in week two to the end of the season. And if you project that out to a full season and a full off season as the number one quarterback, I anticipate good things ahead for Josh Allen. Yes, I agree. I think some people nationally have missed out on the season that Josh Allen had last year. Not great, certainly not statistically great. And I think some people are still caught up in their pre-draft evaluation. what was it, 58% completion percentage. Go ahead. What do you have to say, Eric?
A really quick question, because you and Steve both. So one thing, I've been yelling at friends. I watched the all 22. You guys watch every play. And the one thing I got to know, because is it just from the draft and what they heard? I know he's not the most accurate quarterback, but I've watched every single pass. He's thrown the ball in there pretty well consistently, and there's been so many ridiculous drops, and he's getting rushed and throwing it away. As you watch, being the play-by-play guy, what is with this inaccuracy that he's the worst inaccurate quarterback there is? When I feel every time I watch, I'm like, wait, he's making so many great throws. Why does everyone think he's the most inaccurate quarterback, like, in this draft?
You know what I think, Eric? I don't think he's the most accurate quarterback, not by a long shot, in the NFL. But I think people look at the numbers, and they immediately look at the completion percentage and say, ah, yeah, I knew he couldn't throw. I knew he was inaccurate. That number, that completion percentage, is a function of the type of passes they tried to throw last year. When they dialed it down in the season finale against Miami, Josh sat right over there and said, oh, yeah, we went for completions this game, and he got them. He completed 60-some percent of his passes in the final game of Miami. Not a finished product by any means, not close to being a finished product, but on the right track, and I do think his inaccuracy numbers, his completion percentage number, is a direct function, Steve, of the passes there, the plays they were calling, the passes they were attempting.
Eric, I'm on board with you, and I know we watch Josh, and we tend to hope for the best, you know, and we do spin positive a lot of things that happen. He's not the most accurate guy in the league, but he doesn't strike me as a guy that you go out there and say, wow, he's like Tim Tebow inaccurate. He's not. Here's one of the issues, Eric, and you touched on it. Basically, when he was at Wyoming, he had a 53% completion percentage, mainly because the offense he was running, he ran it like he did early here in Buffalo. He was trying to make the deep, hard throw all too often. He tries it. He likes doing it. He throws those passes a lot. He doesn't take easy completions. And in Wyoming, and I had one of the guys I trust and love and respect in the NFL, one of the evaluators, one of the analysts I know, he told me, he goes, one of the things about Josh's offense in Wyoming was that he never had an outlet that wasn't like a 12-yard out on the far side of the field. They were giving him impossible throws to make because he was the only guy in the whole country who could make those throws at the college level. So they wanted him to try and do it. Josh loves to throw the deep ball. We saw it here in his time here in Buffalo. Now, that's one of the reasons he has a lower percentage of completions, because he, even here in Buffalo for the first 5, 6, 7, 8 games he played, he was trying to make those tough throws all the time. And we all saw him, who watched him every week, we saw him get better at different parts of his game every week. That's one of the reasons there was an enormous buzz in Buffalo about this guy. One week he's hurdling guys and he's running out of bounds. He's twisting guys around, turning them around. Then the next week he's getting out of bounds and he's sliding. He's not taking any hits. He got better and better and better as we all watched him. And at the last game of the season, when, as Murph said, their plan was just get the completions. Well, then all of a sudden he did complete 60% of his passes and they hung 42 points on the Dolphins. So we all saw him week by week become a very different quarterback throughout one or three quarters of one season of football, and it's reason for a lot of optimism around him. So I get that they look at his numbers, that, yeah, he's still completing that kind of number of percentage of passes, but that is, in my opinion, not the whole story.
Thanks. That call comes from Connecticut. The call before that came from Idaho. This call comes from North Carolina. Lou in North Carolina. Where are you in Carolina, Lou?
No, John. It's North Tonawanda. I'm a Jack.
My board says Carolina. Why don't you just tell people you're in North Carolina?
No, yeah.
You're at Pinehurst. You got the ball teed up on the 14th at Pinehurst.
There you go.
Go ahead, Lou.
What do you got, Lou?
So I think you guys are very courteous, and you take questions from people who don't know everything like me, and I do appreciate it. Some of your counterparts on talk radio, they booted me off the air once because I made a comparison about Sonny Jurgensen. I don't think they knew who Sonny Jurgensen was. My point is, I think I'm ecstatic as a Bills fan. And I think Josh Allen is the real deal, and I think we're making too much of putting components around him. He's going to make people great around him. I grew up watching Unitas, Len Dawson, John Hadle, name it. They just gravitated and made people better around them. I think it'd be just a big shame to use a ninth overall pick, you get a lineman. Because I have all the confidence in the world, Josh Allen is going to prevail in this league. He's got a cannon of an arm, and he's like an elk. You imagine trying to tackle an elk in the open in the open field? That's what he reminds me of.
All right, that's good stuff, Lou. And I, hey,
this guy's
of,
been saying this since
there's
last
a lot
summer,
of
man.
There's a lot of people that are as optimistic as you. I mean, you're right. He's got all of that physical talent, and I think the thing that it makes me the most optimistic about Josh Allen is the tangible stuff you can see. Forget the all 22. Forget the all, you know, the runs, the passes, the hurdling over guys. The stuff that you saw him do one week that you wish he wouldn't do. The next week, he didn't do. And the next week, the stuff you saw him in the week that he improved, do some things you still wish he didn't do, he didn't do those the next week. He got better and better and better as with each passing week. I thought Brian Daboll did a phenomenal job of giving him more and more to do, better things to do. When they started putting, and they told us when they wanted some speed on the football field, this coaching staff cut Kelvin Benjamin loose. They plugged Robert Foster in, and they started going deep. And it started working and giving Josh Allen a little more room to operate. When we saw, when there was, his critics said, well, he's running so much, he never stands in the pocket and reads the defense. Well, then the next week you'd see him standing there, accept a hit and make the throw just before he got hit and complete the pass. Every week you could see instances of him doing things that even a casual fan would notice as being better than the week before. That's why there's so much optimism. And Lou, you just, you know, from North Tonawanda / Carolina, call in. You can see it, and it makes you excited about this team and what can happen. Let me tell you something. Everything, Josh Allen, wide receivers, running back, everything will get better if they get offensive linemen up there, if they in front of him. If that offensive line starts to play better and the running game starts to be a factor without Josh Allen having to run and lead the team in rushing, if LeSean McCoy can lead the team in rushing, get 1,100 yards rushing over the course of a season, everything's going to get better. It will be a mushroom effect and an exponential effect on the offense in a positive way. But I am with you. I think the sky's the limit for Josh. He's got a long way to go. There's still a million things that could derail him. But for now, I like where he's at, and I like what I've seen.
Let's take one more call before we hit the break. Dana in Buffalo. Go ahead, Dana. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. How you doing, guys?
Great.
Good.
I want to ask you guys about the double run game we have right now with McCoy and Ivory. I think we're getting rid of Ivory, but what are you guys' thoughts on that? Should we stick with the McCoy or go with the Ivory, you know, combo and get a new line so the run game is better? Or should we just rely on the new line that we're going to draft or pick up, or we're going to get that going to rely on the running game to get better?
Well, it depends on how hard you think it is to find a great running back or at least a good running back. Certainly most teams now, and I'm trying to think of one that doesn't, maybe the Giants, a team that doesn't have two running backs that they use on a regular basis. Most teams do, and every team is looking to get all 45 or 47 guys on game day contributing in some way, shape, or form. They got guys on the roster. They want to get them all on the field in some role that they can excel. Give them something that they do really well, and it puts a lot of pressure on their opponent to combat that with, you know, by asking their opponent to defend it or to attack it in a way maybe they're not so good at. So that's what you can count on. There's no question LeSean McCoy is going to have a running mate in the backfield. He's going to be 31, 32 years old this season. They need somebody to help him carry the load. The offensive line is going to be a big help to LeSean. Murph and I both have seen one of the things I thought that started to wear on LeSean this year, he started shying away from contact because it was happening so quick in the backfield. He was trying to bounce everything out, trying to get a bigger play. He's trying to make something happen for a running game that just wasn't working. And he started to shy away from the tough, hard-nosed two-yard run because it just wasn't worth it to him. That's kind of a problem. I'd like to see that go away. If he starts to have more room, then he'll get acclimated to being able to get those tough runs and tough yards. But that's why Chris Ivory was so much more effective this year. He stuck his nose in there and just kind of took the hard yards. That's not LeSean's forte, never has been. He was willing to do it when everything else was going well, But when nothing's going well, why get those hard 2 or 3 yards if it's not going to help that much? So you can bet they're going to have a couple of running backs back there, and they'll find somebody who's productive. I don't think it's that difficult of a thing to do because I think running backs are out there to be had. And you can get them as rookie free agents. You can get them late rounds of the draft. You can, and they'll be contributors. But I think you're right. LeSean's going to be here, and I think he's still got some gas in his tank. I think he's going to be okay.
Steve, we spent a lot of time yesterday and considerable time last week talking about the Alliance of American Football. All good news, right? No. Maybe some bad news, a little dark cloud on the horizon. We'll talk about that when we come back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back, John Murphy, Steve Tasker. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. What do we got coming up at 2, Steve? We got Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald. He's going to join us to talk about the Dolphins. They are fascinating to me. Are they, in fact, in tank mode? We'll ask Armando. Well, Steve, we spent considerable time the last couple of weeks, really, talking about the Alliance of American Football. The ratings look pretty good, at least from the first week. The football looks okay. Looks like, preseason football a little bit. Some big plays. And yet, Steve, this shocked me this morning. This is the most shocking thing I've read all day. The owner of the NHL's Carolina Hurricanes made a $250 million investment into the Alliance of American Football. He will become the new chairman of the AAF. The Athletic, website The Athletic, reports the league was in danger of not making payroll on Friday before the investment. Now, that has been dismissed by AAF co-founder Charlie Ebersol, who said it's not true the league was getting a financial bailout. The team kicked off just 2 weeks ago. 10-game regular season culminates April 27th in the championship game. CBS broadcasts a couple of games already. The league says over 6 million people watch the AAF, and yet they needed a $250 million investment from this hockey owner, Tom Dundon of Carolina, to stay afloat. I'm shocked and I'm distressed to hear that, Steve. I thought, look, we were talking about how much the AAF was succeeding. Apparently not.
Maybe, yeah, that's true. And who knows? And if they weren't going to make payroll, that's not good, obviously.
No.
Ebersol, the guy who runs the team, and is it Charlie Ebersol?
Runs the league.
They're saying that this infusion of cash is going to carry them for a long time. They had 6 million people watch it when it was on the broadcast network. It outdrew the NBA. So all of a sudden, I don't know, Mr. Dundon, who owns the Carolina Hurricanes,
just took over last
year. I don't know if he's the kind of guy that throws $250 million down the drain. Doesn't think he's going to get it back. For whatever reason, maybe it was the TV numbers, maybe it's the technology that they're going to use this money to promote and all the other stuff they're going to use it for to make paychecks. But I don't know that there's a lot of people that were pleasantly surprised how this league started. No question that you and it's the best alternative to the NFL on pro football that there has ever been. And there's been a ton of options. NFL Europe, USFL, World Football League,
XFL. Is it better than USFL?
Yeah. You know why? Because it's not in competition with the NFL. It's in concert with it. The NFL's pulling for this league. And I think,
which makes it shocking that they need cash. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, if you've got the NFL's backing, why are you in trouble? Why didn't you do it?
Yeah, that's the thing I don't get. Because I thought they had it going on with the television rights and all of that.
I bet the rights don't pay much of anything, right?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, that's going to go up if they can get one of the networks to put it on regular air TV. It's 4 hours. It's like 5 hours of programming per over both days of a weekend. So it's 10 hours over a weekend of live sports at a time when it's kind of dead on the airway. I think they're going to be all right, but still, not
by this.
You start
missing payrolls, you're
yeah.
not going to be around very long.
If you're
long.
Not missing payrolls, you're not going to be around long at all.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see if it's a race between new rights deals and making payroll, or, gosh.
It's troubling.
It's bumming me out because I'm liking this league.
Yeah. I agree.
But there's no question. They had to get a little help to make it through as – you know, maybe there's a lot of – maybe that's what happens in startup businesses, that they all kind of do that. But I don't know.
Not good.
Yeah, it's not good. But it was a little bit of a shock. And, of course, the The AAF downplayed it, said, hey, this is just this is going to carry us for a long time, this money. $250 million will go a long way. It's going to carry us for a long time. It'll give us some peace of mind. And also, they're going to use some of the money to, let's see, I just heard they said it, the technologies and the Alliance's stunning growth in stadium and across TV, mobile, social media in just the first couple of weeks. They're going to expand their football operations and technology business. And this guy, Dundon, is a big part of that. He's done that before in his other businesses, which is why he's so wealthy enough to throw $250 million at this. He's had some experience in some of these businesses that are trying to make inroads into. So
the technology is where the future is with this league, right? We talked with, help me out here yesterday, Cynthia Freeland about it, and she is a technology expert. And she says, you know, it's the app that people can put on their phone. It's the prospect of somewhere down the line involving gambling, right? Real-time gambling, right, on AAF games. That's where the future lies, it would seem, for this league. Not really attendance and maybe not even television ratings. But the fact that they're 2 weeks in needing an infusion of cash, I think that's alarming.
Do you think that there's something out there that they're trying to get to, like maybe this app's going to go full-go gaming?
Yeah, I think it's – they probably sold
gaming,
it
– by, say, gambling.
On this Mr. Durden – what's his name?
Dundon.
They probably sold him because he is a technology guy and said, hey, we get this cash, we're going to stay alive, and we're going to eventually get to a place where our app, our technology, becomes a brand-new revenue source. And not to mention the use of the app – and gambling, right? When enough places legalized gambling.
If they can patent their app to gaming and casinos, everybody buys that, and all of a sudden it's a home run. It's a financial home run for everybody involved. So they may have sold him on that. Maybe that's what the pot at the end of this $250 million rainbow is for him.
That's a lot.
It is. It is a lot of money.
It's alarming. We got a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk some Dolphins football. We know how much we all love the Dolphins, right? We're going to talk about Miami's issues this offseason with Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald. That's coming up next. Come on back. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.